Hello there everyone, I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News, and this week's special edition is for the 23rd of February 2022.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've installed the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition.
Thank you, Ian. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Ian, Craig, Simon, Helen, Keith, Mary, and of course, Flashback Roger. This week's edition is a special feature edition. We will be back to our normal service next week. Coming up, we have our regular quiz, an update on goings on at the Beacon Centre from Helen, information about research into long COVID, news about a campaign from sight loss councils, Roger's Did You Know feature, news of a transport research project seeking volunteers, details of energy advice being provided in Dudley, a 10-day workout, the quiz answers, a Black Country poem from Craig, and a short story penned by Roger. But first off, we start with the quiz questions. Hello there everyone, and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Roger's Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Here we go. Question 1. What was the name of the man who was the father of the RNLI? Question 2. In what year was the lifeboat charity first founded? Question 3. How many lifeboat stations are there around our coast? Question 4. How many volunteers does the RNLI have in the UK? Question 5. How many passengers were saved from a single shipwreck in 1907? And question 6. How much does it cost to initially train a lifeboat crew member? As always, we will reveal the answers later in the show. But for now, good luck. Up next, we have Helen with this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen, back with another roundup of everything that's been happening at Beacon. And wow, what a busy week it's been. First up, we're so excited to tell you, have you heard, our Fiver Fortnight campaign is back. Yep, we're asking if you can spare £5 to make a difference for people with sight loss. Why £5? Well, around 260,000 people live in our local area. And if everyone donated £5, we'd raise 1.3 million, which is enough to run Beacon Centre for one whole year. It's really easy to get involved, and you can even win yourself a signed Wolves football if you donate by February the 27th. Here's how you can show us some love. You can visit our Facebook page and click the donate button. You can enter our virtual balloon race by heading to www.balloonrace.com/beacon. That's www.balloonrace.com/beacon. If you're the winner, you'll bag yourself a family ticket to our upcoming colour run. You can also donate £5 by texting Beacon Fiver to 70085. Text costs £5 plus one standard rate message. You can also find out more on our website, www.beaconvision.org. Now, were you in the mood for love on Valentine's Day? Well, our Stourbridge members certainly were, judging by the crafty creations they've been making recently. To mark the International Day of Love, they've been making their own clay hearts and candle holders to show some love. If you'd like to find out more about our Beacon Stourbridge offer, why not visit our website www.beaconvision.org. Next, did you know that we've got a transport team here at Beacon? Well, the amazing people who make it up cover thousands of miles on the region's roads each year, helping people to get out and about to our centres and in the community in our fleet of minibuses. Our friendly drivers and volunteers are trained to make sure you get the support you need to get where you want to go. If you'd like to find out more about the service, please call us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. That's inquiries@beaconvision.org. Lastly this week, do you want free support to find work or improve your skills? The Wolverhampton Skills Connect project can help you with tailored advice and activities to get you where you want to be. We're really proud to be working in partnership with other voluntary sector organisations in Wolverhampton to give people the support they need to progress through this project. Contact 01902 880 111 to see how we could help you today. That's 01902 880 111. That's it for another week. Hopefully, I'll be back again soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that update, Helen. Up next, we have a piece about long COVID and how vaccination can help mitigate against it. With new research suggesting people who are fully vaccinated are less likely to suffer from long COVID, residents are being encouraged to get their jabs as soon as they are due. The UK Health Security Agency looked at a number of national and international studies, with most suggesting people who have had at least one or two doses of the COVID-19 vaccine were less likely to develop symptoms of long COVID after infection compared with unvaccinated people. Councillor Jasper Jaspel, the City of Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health and Wellbeing, said, "We know that vaccine is the best defence we have against COVID-19. And it now seems as though it is the best defence against long COVID too. Some studies have even suggested that getting vaccinated could help people already living with long COVID. Remember, if you're due a second dose or a booster, or you haven't had your first one yet, it's never too late. Your vaccination is ready and waiting for you, and you can get it right away without an appointment at one of the walk-in clinics operating throughout Wolverhampton. However, to book an appointment, you can call 119. For most people with symptoms of long COVID, such as fatigue, loss of smell, shortness of breath, and difficulty concentrating, are short-lived and resolved over time. But for some, that can be more severe and disrupting to their daily lives. People who are concerned about their recovery from COVID-19 should visit www.yourcovidrecovery.nhs.uk or speak to their GP. Up next, we hear from Mary, who tells us all about how the Sight Loss Councils are running a campaign to ensure that essential healthcare information is available in large print, braille, or an easy-to-read format so that everyone who needs access can get it.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Mary Buckley to tell you about a new campaign by Sight Loss Councils to make sure that health information is available in accessible formats for visually impaired people. Research by Sight Loss Councils has found that as many as 9 in 10 visually impaired people in England do not regularly receive essential information about doctor appointments, medical treatments and medications in accessible format. In 2016, NHS England introduced the Accessible Information Standard, the AIS, pledging to provide healthcare information in alternative format for people who need it. This could be information in large print, braille, or easy read formats. But 5 years on, 90% of blind and partially sighted people still do not regularly receive information in the format they need. Mike Bell, Sight Loss Council's National Public Affairs and Campaigns Lead, said, It is shocking that so many blind and partially sighted people still do not get medical information in the accessible formats such as Braille and large print, even when they have expressly asked for it. Some hospital trusts and GP practices have ensured that visually impaired patients get the support and information they need, but too many have not. The research included freedom of information requests to 219 NHS bodies in England and in-depth interviews with blind and partially sighted people. Findings show that only 45% of NHS trusts have policies in place to deliver accessible information, and another 10% are currently introducing policies. Many have not trained staff in how to meet patients' accessible information needs. More than two-thirds of NHS bodies are not recording whether they successfully meet the needs of their blind and partially sighted patients, making it difficult to know if any policies are being implemented. Three-quarters of visually impaired people say that they cannot remember ever being asked by the NHS about preferred information formats, even though the AIS expressly states that this should happen. The research findings have prompted sight loss councils to launch a campaign calling on the NHS to strengthen the accessible information standard and ensure that it is properly implemented across England. NHS managers, hospitals and GP practices are being urged to introduce clear policies on AIS implementation and monitor their effectiveness, engage visually impaired people and others with accessible information needs to ensure that their requirements are met, and to train all health staff in accessible information and communication as part of a broader Workplace Equalities and Disabled Access Education Programme.
TNF Soundings.
Thanks for that, Mary. Up now, we hear from Flashback Roger and his Did You Know section.
Hello again, everyone. Well, what stormy weather we've been having, and I, for one, have been grateful for being tucked up on dry land and not tossed about at sea. For it did put me in mind of those who have no choice but to venture out onto the coast, and of our lifeboat service, the RNLI too. So, did you know that? Sir William Hillary is known as the father of the RNLI. He decided a seagoing rescue service was needed after seeing so many shipwrecks on his frequent voyages to and from the mainland from his base on the Isle of Man. Sir Hillary's first sea rescue institution was known as the National Institution for the Preservation of Life from Shipwreck. The charity was therefore founded in 1824. Queen Victoria's husband, Prince Albert, supported the change of Sir Hillary's organisation's name to become the Royal National Lifeboat Institution in 1854. There are 238 lifeboat stations around the UK, and their extensive fleet consists of 444 lifeboats of various types and sizes. In addition, more than 4,000 volunteers work for the RNLI throughout the UK, and their headquarters are in Poole in Dorset. Crews of lifeboats have specific tasks and skills. Crew members are often promoted through the ranks too. Some join with no sailing experience at all, but all can swim. The greatest number of lives saved in a single sea rescue to date was in 1907, when 456 passengers were rescued from a ship near the Cornish coast off Lizard Point. Many lifeboat crew members have other full or part-time jobs while they volunteer with the RNLI. There are lifeboat crews available for and on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lifeboat crew teams work shifts and their hours vary. It costs £1,527 to initially train one crew member for a lifeboat. All lifeboat crew members undergo regular training and obligatory annual training checks. Training and safety checks incur extra costs. That's it for this week then, and I hope that talk of stormy seas hasn't made you feel queasy. I shall always be grateful that there are folks around who are willing and able to keep us safe whatever we do. So I'm off, and I'll spare more than a thought for the ones who catch my favourite fish for tea. Till next week then, I'll say bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Thank you for that, Roger. Up now, we have information about a pilot study being carried out, and also information regarding energy being provided by Dudley Council. The West Midlands Combined Authority are looking for people willing to participate in their Travel Without Barriers pilot, which is taking place in Wolverhampton. They are looking for willing volunteers who may or may not already use public transport or use facilities at Central Baths or the Burt Williams Leisure Centre. The aim of the pilot is to test and learn what could work to remove barriers to make accessing public transport easier. The pilot will take place from March for a couple of months, allowing you time to test journeys on several occasions. They'll be testing several modes of transport during this time, but it's hoped that the learning gained will shape public transport to make it more accessible. If you're interested in taking part in the Travel Without Barriers project, contact Mark Fosbrook on email via mark.fosbrook, spelt F-O-S-B-R-O-O-K, at wmca.org.uk, or ring 08458 151515 and ask to speak to Amy Baker. That number again, 08458 151515. Are you a resident of Dudley? If so, as the country braces itself for increased energy costs, Dudley Energy Advice Line is offering advice and support to anyone who lives in Dudley Borough. The Dudley Council Service, which employs a team of 8 energy advisers, receives more than 2,000 inquiries every year from people seeking help with energy bills and debt, and advice on how to lower your energy bill. Those who are coming off a set tariff are best to go onto their provider's standard variable tariff, as most of the fixed price tariffs are uneconomical. The Dudley Energy Advice Line team also recommends that households use a smart meter wherever possible to help people track their energy consumption and to avoid getting into debt with energy bills. Central Government recently confirmed that those living in houses in council tax bands A to D will receive a £150 discount from their annual council tax bill, and all households will be given a £200 discount directly from their energy provider. Privately rented households should provide heating systems to a set standard. Private tenants with concerns about the heating systems or insulation should get in touch with their landlord. Grants are available to eligible owner-occupiers for heating and insulation. People can find out more by calling the Dudley Energy Advice Line on 01384 817 086. Up next, we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Keith, and here he is.
Hello everyone, and welcome to 10 Today. This is broadcast number 9. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either standing up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you to do all this exercise safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you are feeling throughout the session. If you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, please stop and seek medical advice. Please remember you agree to take part at your own risk. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, it would be ideal if you could use a hard chair that you can sit upright in, and preferably one without arms that can get in the way of some exercises. Now, with your feet flat on the floor, okay, if you are stood up, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders and stand up nice and tall, and take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor, keep your back straight, relax your shoulders and take a couple of deep breaths. In and out, in and out. So, the first exercise is called Reach for the Stars. So raise both your arms up to the sky, or stars. When at the top, raise on your toes and then lower down both your feet and arms, pushing down with your palms down. So keep going, raising your hands up, then up on your toes. Then lower down your hands and feet and keep going, feeling that nice stretch through the upper body and shoulders. So, just a couple more now. Next, Strike of the Cobra. A wee bit of martial arts. So with a strong stance, with your fists clenched in front of your chest like you are a boxer, punch your right hand straight out and return. Then with the same hand, punch it to the left side so your arm crosses your body and reaches towards the ceiling. So you're punching up and across and return. Now with your left hand, punch straight out and return. Then punch to the right side so your arm crosses your body, reaching for that ceiling again. Try not to worry with the logistics on this one, just energetic punching is good. Keep going now with alternate hands at your own pace. So punching straight and then to the side, pointing up to the ceiling. This is great for strengthening those arms. You should all be feeling nice and warm now. Now we have the side stretch. Raise your right arm high, straight up with your palm facing up, then lean over to your left side, feeling that stretch all along your right side. Now returning back to the center. Raise your left hand straight up and feel that stretch all the way down your left side. Now keep alternating, feeling that nice stretch down your side. So arm up and lean over and repeat. Great work, well done. Next up is Swing Back. If you're standing, keep your legs straight. If you're sitting, keep your feet flat on the floor. Bend your arms so both hands are at chest height. Then straighten out your right arm and swing it back so you feel a nice rotation in your back, looking towards your right hand. Then return to the center and straighten out your left arm and swing it back, looking towards your left hand, and repeat. So we are just moving side to side, swinging your arms back, nice and gently, feeling your back rotate as you move side to side. Just a couple more now. This is a great one for trunk rotation. Next, if you're standing up, you might want to be near something so you can hold on to for balance. This one is a leg raise. If you're standing, lift your leg up to hip height, keeping your knee bent and return. And if you're sitting, lift your leg slightly higher than hip height and return. Now do the same with the other leg. Lift up to hip height and return. Now, keep going on alternate legs, just lifting those legs up. Next is Slowly Does It. These exercises are slightly different if you are sitting or standing. So if you're standing, bend at your knees slightly to halfway and hold. And then bend your knees all the way down to your lowest point and hold. And then straighten up your legs again. So we're just moving halfway, holding, moving down to your lowest point, holding, and then coming back up. Keep your feet facing forward and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. Keep going. If you are sitting, just straighten out your right leg right in front of you and hold briefly, feeling that nice stretch down your leg. Then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you're also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going, always remembering to keep your back straight. So for those standing, bending knees halfway, hold and then all the way down and then up. And sitting, raising alternate legs. Slow and controlled is more challenging and rewarding. Just a few more. Great work. Push up to the moon. So remember to keep a nice soft bend in your knees and a strong stance. Then bend your arms so both hands are at chest height. Then push both your hands up to the ceiling on your right, like you are pushing up to the moon. And sweep your hands back down and to the left, pushing both your hands up to the ceiling again on your left. And now keep going. So you're just making a nice big U with your hands, pushing up to the moon on either side. When you sweep your hands at the bottom of the U, you can bend over slightly to make that sweeping movement bigger. Keep going with that nice dynamic shape, pushing up to the moon on each side. So again, if you're standing, you might want to be near something for balance. This exercise is called kick across, and you are just kicking your leg across to the opposite side. So kick your right leg to the left side and return. Do the same on the other side. So now keep going, kicking that leg across from side to side. You should feel that working your legs. And slow and controlled is more challenging here. Keep going for a couple more. Good work. Next up is full circle. Raise both arms straight above your head and then sweep them round together to the right, making one big circle all the way back up to the top. And keep going, swinging one big circle to the right. Just a couple more in this direction. Good work. Now we are going to do exactly the same, but the opposite direction. So keep making those nice big circles. It's a great workout for your shoulders, this one. Just a few more now. One more. Great job. Now we really should all be feeling warm. If you're a little out of breath, that's a good thing. It means you've been working. If you're not a little out of breath, can you work a little harder next time? Anyway, nearly finished. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and a cool down. So we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean forward gently. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of your leg. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well done. Then return to a stood-up position and swap your legs. So this time step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your right leg and just lean forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well done. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you were hugging a tree, directly in front of you. And your arms, they form a nice circle in front of you. And then cup your hands, putting one hand in front of the other, and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now sit up or stand up and return to that nice relaxed posture we had at the beginning. Brilliant! So that was all the exercises. We hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shake it out. So just shake those arms and hands and then legs and feet. Great work, everyone. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have a great health benefits. It's fun and you'll simply feel better. So do keep going. Thank you very much for listening. This is Keith.
Ooh, that was quite a workout. Now it's time to sit down and listen to the quiz answers. Hello there, everyone. I'm here with your answers to this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Here we go. Question 1. What is the name of the man who was the father of the RNLI? And the answer? Sir William Hillary. Question 2. In what year was a lifeboat charity first founded? And your answer? 1824. How many lifeboat stations are there around our coast? And the answer for this one, 238. Question 4. How many volunteers does the RNLI have in the UK? And the answer, over 4,000. Question 5. How many passengers were saved from a single shipwreck in 1907? And the answer, 456. And question 6. How much does it cost to initially train a lifeboat crew member? And the answer, it's £1,527. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have a Black Country poem from Craig, followed by a short story penned by Roger.
Hello, I'm Craig, and this week I'm going to read you a poem written by local poet Dela Perry about her hometown of Dudley. You know, I speak funny. That's what they say to me, those posh people at work. Where are you from? Actually, they say, you speak strangely. Where are you from? And I say, I'm from Dudley, aye. Proud of my heritage I am. You know, I speak funny. They tell me to speak the Queen's English. You can obviously write it if you're quite educated. So why don't you speak properly? It will make people take you more seriously. But I, from that place where the good old Queen is from, am I? I could put on no airs and graces. Am you kidding? I'm proud of where I'm from. Good old working family, ush lot am. A bit of the Priory, a bit of Craigley Heath, a bit of Tipton, and a bit of that posh place, King's Wynford. I'm impressed by what I see. We are all as rough as the road, but you know I'll write nicely and be a decent sort. But I never forget my roots, my heritage. My accent and heart will be forever the Black Country. Blow my bugle at the top of Dudley's Castle's turrets. Ate our grand's fags and peas. Sup our ale and race my beloved pigeons. Cos like our Lenny Henry, our proud son of Dudley, I'm forever proud, forever Dudley, forever our Black Country.
Hello everybody. Well, I've got a little short story for you now, but it's up to you to decide whether it's true or not. I've called it Not So Happy Returns. Some years ago, my wife bought a pair of white trousers for the summer. Really pleased with them, she tried them on to give me a fashion parade at home later in the day. She drooped up and down and gave me a twirl, as you do, and I had to say to her that I had spotted a fault in the back of one of the trouser legs. She took them off and examined them, certain that I was mistaken, but I wasn't. Much to her dismay, there was a blue thread woven into the fabric from the waistband to the hem. She thought it might just have been a mark that would come out, but no, it was permanent. Her mood had gone from chuffed to disappointed to quite knocked in a few minutes, as she obviously needed to exchange them so she could wear them that coming weekend, but had little time to go back into the town. I stepped up to the plate gallantly, of course, and said that I'd take them back for her the following day in my lunch break. She gave me a great big smacker of a kiss by way of a thank you, bagged up the offending purchases and put it in the hall by my briefcase. "Now you won't forget them, will you, darling?" she said, almost in anticipation of me doing so. "Of course not," says I. "My word is my bond," at which we both laughed. The following day dawned bright and sunny and full of summery promise for my wife's day out with her friends. The girls, as she prefers to call them. She gave me instructions as she put her carrier bag in my hand as to the whereabouts of the shop in town and told me loudly not to forget it. I know," I said. "No need to go on. I know the town well enough by now. Just clear off and have a lovely day. I'll see you later." We had a little peck goodbye and I waved her off. I picked up my case, my car keys and my jacket. It was too warm to put it on, and the carrier bag too, and I set off for the office. The morning was full with a meeting which ran over somewhat, so I hurriedly ate my lunch and dashed up to the town to honour my promise. I had to drive around looking for a parking spot, which, when I found one, was about as far from the shopping centre as it could be. I made my way to the far end of the town, through the pavements full of shoppers, office workers and students from the local college, all seemingly out in force for their own lunch hour. It was absolutely airless in the high street in the midday heat, but eventually my goal was in sight. It had taken me much longer to get through, and I knew my time was running short for me to make the exchange and get back to my office for the afternoon's work. My progress seemed to be hampered by every person in front of me, and I was getting more tetchy with every step or shuffle towards the shop. Hooray, I was finally there, and I dashed into the cool air-conditioned interior. The shop counter with its assistant was at the back of the shop. I swiftly marched through the crammed sale rails to where she was standing. She looked up as I arrived at the counter and greeted me with a sort of a smile and a, "How can I help you, sir?" I emptied the bag in front of her and said, "Well, you can exchange these 40 trousers for my wife bought yesterday, or give me a refund if you can't exchange them, please." She said nothing, but spread the trousers flat out before her, and while examining them she said, "What appears to be wrong with them, sir?" I think I tutted or sighed or both, and told her about the blue thread running through the back of the one leg. She turned them over and said, "Oh yes, there it is. That's bad, isn't it? But I can't help you." Now I was annoyed. I took a deep breath and demanded to know exactly why, as she had agreed that they were faulty and that she was obliged under the Sale of Goods Act to replace or refund in full. The assistant didn't budge, but did say that she would get a manager to come out to explain. Okay, I thought, that's got through to her. She's obviously too junior to put the transaction through. As I waited, I could hear some mumblings coming from behind a slightly open door behind the counter. Eventually, an older lady appeared, sporting a gold badge which bore the legend Barbara, branch manager. At last, I thought. We exchanged good afternoons, and I reluctantly explained the situation to Barbara, who listened in silence, put both hands onto the garment, and slid it across the countertop towards me. I gave her a quizzical look and inquired strongly exactly what she intended to do. Barbara gave me a patronising smile and just said, "Sir, if these were bought from my shop, which by the way is Dorothy Perkins, I would gladly help you. But as these are from Richard's shops, I can only suggest that you take them there. Good afternoon." She turned away smartly and disappeared, leaving me to put the trousers back into the carrier bag as quickly as my embarrassment would allow. "Sorry," I called to the door, but there was no reply except for giggles coming from within her inner sanctum. I turned to make a hasty exit, but I couldn't, as I had to weave my way through the clothes rails, where each one had a lady customer, and each one of the ladies was looking at me. They had been treated to an impromptu entertainment that I had created for them. Their eyes followed me as I walked out, hoping that I was conveying the appearance of nonchalance. But time was pressing on, so when I was out of sight of DP's, I ran round the corner to Richard's shops and did the deed without any trouble whatsoever. That evening after our meal, my wife said, "I see you managed to swap the trousers. Thank you so much. There wasn't any problem, was there?" To which I replied, "Of course not. It was easy. What on earth could have gone wrong?" She looked them over happily and went upstairs for a try-on. I smiled to myself at the successful outcome and just hoped that the truth wouldn't get conveyed to my wife via the gossip channels. The ladies witnessing the episode surely will dine out on it at every group they attend. And sooner or later, I'm sure, it'll filter down to my missus and I won't ever live it down.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!